Pastor Peter is off at New Pastor Orientation in Vancouver, and Pastor Jeremy's out at Quest at Christopher Lake with the youth retreat. And so I thought, this is my morning to actually tell some really good staff stories. And then Kate walked in. Anyway, what a joy to be here. You know, and I'm not going to tell a story. You know, this morning, as I was talking, we've been focusing on a series entitled "It's Time to Live Again," and I think really that more than anything else in our life, we really want to live. I mean, most of us, we say "carpe diem," which is seize the day, and most of us don't do that, but we would love to do that. And as I was preparing for today, which is living a prepared life, a lot of thoughts went through my mind of preparation, and a lot of thoughts of what we do to prepare for trips, or what we do to prepare in our career, or what we do. And I was thinking, how do we prepare in a Christian life? I mean, and I sat before the Lord, I said, God, how is it that we prepare? And I was, a lot of stories went through my mind, and a lot of thoughts. But I thought back to last Sunday when I talked about living a strong life and the life of Joshua. Moses is dead, and now Joshua is your new leader. And I had a couple of slides for you. If you recall, it was a slide of a penguin who was sitting on top of a sleeping polar bear and ready to crash the cymbals. Or it was the slide of the mouse that was dangling from a Mission Impossible thread ready to grab the cheese, you know. Well, I found a couple of photos that talks about prepared life, and I think it sums it up well. The penguin is now dressed up, ready to venture forth into the cold, or you could say the mouse is prepared because he's got the hard hat on, ready to get the cheese. Prepared life. A prepared life is surrendered. I invite you to turn to Psalm 31 as we look at this. You know, most of us walk through the wilderness, as we talked about last week, and we walk through those dark valleys, those dark moments, and we wonder, how are we going to get through this? And I think one of the ways that we can only get through it is by living a prepared life, so that you're prepared for what is to come. Does it make sense? So look to Psalm 31. And I love the Psalms of David, because David just speaks his heart. I love it, and I love the way he does it. I love the way he speaks to God. He's very forthright in talking to God. And he starts off, I'm going to start at verse 9 of Psalm 31. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I'm a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me. They plot to take my life. Wow. What a happy guy. You know, merciful to me, O God. I'm in distress. Have you ever been in distress? Have you ever been in that moment where you just like, oh, I can't do it anymore. I can't get through it. Hey, my eyes grow weak with sorrow. Oh boy, have you ever wept so much that your eyes just hurt? My soul, my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish. Boy, this sounds like my life yesterday. I love how David speaks, because he goes through all this and then he says, but I trust in you, O Lord. Verse 14, I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. What God wants is our times to be in his hands. The best way I can tell you to manage your time is just to put all your time in God's hands. Our times are in his hands. So who better to put our time in than him? You see, what God is looking for is not even just a bunch of people that will lay out this real infinite program every week for what they're going to do with their time, and then go around with a pencil and checking off things they've done. Okay, I've done that for you, God. I've done that. Okay, prayer. Yeah, I've done that. I did that. It was 3 minutes this morning. Okay, now Bible reading. Oh, yeah, I did that because I read that verse. It was in that thing. Okay, now God. Oh, yeah, talk to God. That's the same thing as prayer. So, ooh, I double up that one. So I got that one covered. You know, we waste precious time on things that really don't matter. Did you ever sit and just think about that for a moment? Boy, have I wasted time. Think about King David. I mean, let's jump up to verse 7. I will be glad. I will rejoice in your love. For you saw my affliction. You knew the anguish of my soul. You've not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. He's so excited. Be merciful to me, O God. I'm in distress, you know. You see, David knew what it was about to be walking through the wilderness. He knew what it was like to be suffering and in pain. David knew what it was like. He needed to prepare every moment of every day for what was to come so that he could get through it. Now, if King David had to do that, what makes you think you don't need to do that? See, is there any chance, is there any possibility that you have been selected to struggle for God's glory? Wow. You didn't want to hear that. I gotta tell you a story. A friend and I can't use his name because he'll probably watch this on the internet. He won't be my friend anymore, but they came to visit us, and some of you may have heard this before because I love telling this story, but he brought his boat. It was on top of his vehicle to come visit us. And he and his family come. We're having a great time, and he said that night, he said, hey, tomorrow I want to take the boat on the river, you know. I said, really? With who? Because you know how much I love water. I mean, you know, just bad enough for me to take a shower. And he knew that from the smell. But anyway, I said, no, really, seriously. What? And I was trying my best. I was trying to figure this out because he really wanted to take this boat out. It's a new boat for him. He says, it's a new boat for me. It's used, but new for me. I want to take it out. I want to take this thing out. Well, you can tell how thrilled I was. We went to Little Red. Hey, I was in charge. He said, find a place. I said, hey, I know a place really close. Little Red, you know? Little Red, that sounds deep. Wow, I tell you, it's amazing. Hey, it's deep for me. Come on. So we get the boat off, and he's looking at this thing. He's going, what? Do you really mean? Are you serious? Does this, like, get any deeper? I said, I hope not. So we get the boat out. We get it in the water. You know, well, yeah, it was water. It was a little bit high at that time here because it went up about here, I think. And get the boat in, and he says, oh, there's not enough life jackets. It doesn't matter. And, you know, whoa, what? We need life jacket. I mean, I can't get in here without a life jacket. I have to have a life jacket. He said, well, I don't have enough. He said, I'll go without one. That's okay. Everybody gets a life jacket. I mean, I want my kids and me safe. I didn't care. I mean, he's responsible for his children. I'm responsible for mine. Okay? My kids, I mean, they're big. You know, they were small. They got these life jackets on. You know, it's up to here. Dad, do we have to wear these? Yes, you do. You never know. My tip, you know. You could stand up, but it didn't matter. You have to have a life jacket. So we're you know, making our way in this boat, and he's going, isn't this boat fantastic? I said, yeah, it's a great boat. Fantastic. Yeah, he said, you like this? I said, I love it. You know, this is great. And we're going around the curves and everything. And I said, okay, I think it's time to get out now. No, it isn't. One more curve. I said, no, I think it's time to get out. He said, no, one more curve. Okay, so we go around another curve. And I said, by the way, where'd you get this boat? Oh, the dump. I said, what? He said, yeah, I got this in the dump. He said, you know, I had cracks and everything, but I fiberglassed it. And I just wanted to check this thing out, make sure it was okay for, you know. I said, what? We're getting on this boat now. I'm not going any further. This is it. No, one more curve, Dad. One more. I said, no more curves. We're done. I've had it. I'm jumping out. I didn't care. I was ready to get out of this boat. And I said, kids, you're going with me, you know. He said, all right. So we pulled up. We get the boat back loaded up, and we drive it. Did you realize that one more curve, we would have been in the North Saskatchewan River with that dump boat? I can only imagine what would have happened. But you know, that time, the need to be prepared is so important. Have enough life jackets. Make sure the boat is safe. I said, didn't you try this boat out before this? No, I wanted to try it out here with you. It's very difficult. Did you know it's very difficult to let go of what lies behind and head toward what lies ahead when you don't know what lies ahead? Do you know that? Very difficult to let go of what lies behind and head toward what lies ahead when you don't know what lies ahead. I mean, I could not go around one more corner. Praise God we didn't. I didn't know what lied ahead. But God asks us, surrender. Give it to me. You don't know what lies ahead, but I do. And when all you have is the word of the Lord, that it will be wonderful and fantastic and the greatest thing that's ever happened. I mean, God never shows you usually what it is that you're until you've taken the step of obedience. Until you've said, okay, I'm going to do it. Well, then we went fishing. We're standing at the shoreline. He's showing me. He's got everything except, I don't know, he had some contraption thing that he had to have on the end of this hook. When you're hooking it, he said, otherwise it hooks your fingers. I don't have one. He said, but it doesn't matter, you know. He said, and he hooks this thing on, and then he's flipping back like this, you know, and he's showing me. This is what you do to flip back, way back. Flip back, way back. And I said, you know, kids were back there. And I said, you know, we should maybe bring the kids out. They can see it. No. I don't need the kids up here. Be in the way. Flipping back. He's doing that a few times, right? It's just, you know what? I'll look like the, you know? Well, as he's doing that, then he's going. His poor kid. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. He was pulling his kid into the water. You know, and I'm saying, Barrett, what? And he's yanking. Barrett, what? You know, I said his name. You got to delete that from the internet. And it, what? You know? I said, you got your kid caught. He said, what? What? You know? He's so busy fishing. We're at the line. We never caught anything. Because we're at the shore. And I said, hey, what do we need to do? Can't we catch? He said, well, you never catch fish from the shore. You always have to go out to, you know. And I said to him, I said, well, then why are we standing on the shore? He said, because I don't want to get my pants wet, you know? And I didn't bring hip waders, so we can't go out. Not prepared. See? Now, some people prepare. Like, they'll go and dig a chunk, you know, drill on ice and start fishing. They don't catch anything. And then brother-in-law comes along, he puts his fin, boop, out it comes a fish. That can happen at a reunion even at the heels. Gotcha. You didn't even know I knew that, did you? We're all ready for a bunch of blessings. But my Bible says that when you're fishing, you don't get a lot of fish until you get out of the shallow water and get out into the deep. And so now you wonder why you're suffering. Because God has these abundant of blessings for you. He has them. They're just there. But you have to step out of the shallow water and go a little bit deeper with Him. And you have to start saying, God, I surrender it. This is your life. I mean, here, I give it to you. I give you my time. God, you're in charge. You got to start calling the shots in my life. And you know, living like that, that gets exciting because you never really know from day to day what God is going to have you doing. It's exciting. But you got to hold on to everything lightly with your hands, because sooner or later, when God's finished with that portion of your life, He's going to say, just let it go. You got to hold on lightly. You want to live a prepared life. Let God have your times. Surrender to Him. Surrender to Him. Secondly, live a prepared life is obedient. We'll get to verse 14 in a minute, but I believe what God is looking for is a people who are prepared in here. That's that know how to hear from God, that we've constantly got one ear tuned to the Lord, that if the Lord says, do this, we do it. You know, there's a time, God will always give you a plan, He'll always give you a program, He'll always give you a method that you start with to get you disciplined and going in the right direction, but the time comes for every one of us when we have to just leave those methods and follow the Spirit of the Lord. You see, without that, we're always living under rules and regulations and laws, and we never feel the freedom that God gives. I've experienced that in my prayer life. I mean, I had to make certain every morning that in order, before I could go about my day, I had to secure the presence of God in my life. I mean, and if I slept in, you know, I would skip brushing my teeth, using Listerine. See, now you people know why you're like this sometimes when I'm talking to you. But why be number guys? So I could have precious time with God. I mean, I can't go through my day without just saying, God, I need you in my life right now. I need you to walk me through this day because I know my flesh is weak. And I would worry my way through the day. Oh, no. Oh, anybody ever worry? You know, oh, no. Oh, I can't. Oh, Lord. Oh, they spoke to me. Ah! You know. Or I'd anger my way through things. Oh, that just upsets me so much. Or I'd become frustrated. Oh, man. Oh. Confused. Well, most of you say I am, but I needed to control the only way I knew how to control those thoughts and feelings, prepare the only way I knew to prepare, and that is sit before the Lord in the morning, say, God, I want to secure your presence in my life today. Now, there are mornings that, you know, I get up and I think, oh man, do I have to do that? Do I really have to just say, God, you know, and spend some time? Do I have to do that? I mean, I want to get up, I want to watch the news, I want to have a coffee with my wife. I mean, but I've learned that God uses methods to train me. And when He says, let the method go, Dev, see, I have to let it go. See, if we hang on to methods, it'll keep us from the next step that God has for us, which will be more glorious than the method we've chosen. Following the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And man, that's amazing. Get up in the morning, got a plan, you have to have a plan. But sometimes God says, wait a minute, I'm going to change your plan. And you got to just be obedient enough to let it change. Have a plan, set about working your plan, but have your ear tuned to the Spirit of God. Not your friends who call you up and try to drag you away from your plan, but the Spirit of God who's saying, well, I really need you to lay that down and have some extra time in your prayer tonight. I mean, I really need you. And God says, to not go do that thing today. I need you to go and visit so-and-so and encourage them. You need to do that. I really need you to go over to the hospital and visit somebody there. You need to do that. If God says, I need you to do this or I need you to do that, you've got to be free enough and obedient enough and surrendered enough to do that. Make sense? Well, this can only come through prayer. I mean, if you want to live a prepared life, you need to invoke prayer on your life. And many will not take that time, that precious time, to pray. We need to begin to funnel our time into what God's called us to do, not just be. You know, wasting time over here and time over there and wasting time over here and wasting time doing this and doing that. But spending time with the one who knows your time. I love back in Joshua, we talked about it last week. Moses is dead and Joshua's the one chosen to take these people across the Jordan. But I love Joshua 1 verse 11. And this popped into my head. Joshua ordered the officers of the people. He said, go through the camp and tell the people. Get your supplies ready. Get your supplies ready. Another translation says, prepare your provisions. We're never going to hear anything from God if we're not ready to hear anything from God. If we don't get up with an attitude, I better listen, because God may just speak to me today. You don't have to call somebody else up and say, hey, what's God saying today? You get this? you can say to God, speak to me today. Now, isn't that exciting? Are you all still here, or did you leave? Isn't that exciting? Amen? But we're too afraid to hear from God. We are. Because it's unknown. And God may just have something to say to us. And so we're afraid. I know I am. But I can't survive in this life without that kind of preparation. Because your own future is shaped by today's decisions. And it's not too late. If you have not been making good decisions, you can start right now today by making the right decisions. You don't have to put off for one more day. If you've got all your priorities all aligned and you've been putting all your time into the wrong things and none of your time in the right things, if you've been running around the wilderness long enough, it's time to go on with Joshua to the promised land. And you can do that today. You can decide that right now. You can talk to God. You can be obedient to Him. You can surrender to Him. But thirdly, prepared life is equipped. When you live a prepared life, you live an equipped life. What does it mean when it's prepare your provision? The word prepare is an important word in the Bible. We talked about it last week. It means get equipped. So many people want to go out. They want to do something. They don't want time to get equipped. Now, I can tell you, my gym teacher, again, I got to be careful. I don't want to use his name. But I remember going to him, and I remember walking up to his desk, and I said, "Hey, look at this physique." If there was ever a runner, hello, do I look like a runner? Do I look like a runner? I do, don't I? I said to him, I want to run. I said, I want to run. I know there's a marathon coming up. I want to run the marathon. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, are you a runner? I said, I'm a runner. Look at. He said, oh man, yeah, you are a runner. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, we typically get together after schools, and we do this run. I said, oh, I'm a runner. Trust me, I can run. He said, okay. Well, he said, the first run, he says, about 10 miles. He says, you know, it's not a big run, and you know, so should I sign you up? Sign me up. Signs me. 10 mile run. It's not bad, you know, if you know how to run. Really, it's not bad. So, you know, I'm running, and I'm so excited to get a number. And he's kind of watching along. Somehow they, you know, carry you along. And I'm running through the city, Regina City, so everybody knows I'm a runner. And I'm booging, okay? Now, I didn't know that there was Olympic runners actually seriously in this group. And I'm just, and I can hear behind me the and I can hear, and I'm starting going, you know, beside, and I do what you're not supposed to do, okay? Now, what I didn't see in front of me, no, pretty close. It's gravel, a little gravel patch, like a little dip. You know, they had done, like, potholes. And I, down, I went. Boof, face first. Man, that hurt. Well, I was actually sorry. And my gym dude, he comes running over. He goes, you weren't prepared to run, were you? I said, no. I didn't know you had to train for this stuff. I didn't know it. I mean, I didn't know you weren't supposed to look back. The moment you look back, the moment you lose your focus. So I couldn't look. I didn't know you couldn't look back. So the day when I went to my gym teacher, And I said, hey, I'm a cyclist. He said, Devin, listen, you can be in our cycling program, no problem. But he said, there's a lot of training involved to prepare you for cycling. Because he said, you have to get equipped first. You getting this? If you want to live a successful, blessed Christian life, you have to take the time to prepare. So that when you go through the darkest of valleys, those moments where you even wonder and question, God, are you real? You have prepared yourself so well that it will carry you through. So that you can run the race. As the Apostle Paul said, I've run the race. I'm going into Bugs Bunny mode.
Was. You have won the race.
He said, I finished my course, Paul said. Wouldn't that be nice? I finished my course. Now that doesn't mean that you just get to sit at home and pray and read your Bible. I mean, that's not what it means. But what it does mean is when you're prepared for those moments, it means that God will carry you through. As long as you say, God, I just belong to you. I belong to you. God, my times are in your hands. See, but laying down ourselves, saying, God, it's down to the wire, because it is. It's down to the wire. And I'm not going to spend any more time just walking and talking a talk. I want to be equipped. I want to be prepared. I want to live this life. And I want to seize the day. Joe Paterno, American football coach, said, in 1929, he said, the will to win is important, but the will to prepare is vital. I believe that God is searching the body, just looking for people that will take the time to just give somebody an encouraging word. You know, it's hard today to find anybody that has some time to help somebody move or time to visit the sick or anybody that has time to go clean a house for some lady who just had a baby and came home, shouldn't be doing it yet. Those of you who are pregnant, love me for that one. Anyone take the time to babysit a single parent who needs a break? It's hard to find people that want to take the time. Because we're so bent on, I want, I need, I should, instead of, God, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? We become so clouded. It's not that we don't have time. But what we do is we take our time and we funnel it into what we want to do instead of taking time and letting our time be in God's hands and saying, God, whatever you want, that's for you. That's living a prepared life. I love what it says here, verse 14. Look at this. I mean, remember, he's depressed all through this. Look at verse 13. I've been hear the slander of many, terror on every side. They conspire against me. They plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. You are my God. Powerful words. You are my God. Can you say that this morning? You are my God. Say it like you really mean it now. You are my God. Letting God do what he wants to do with my time. And I'll tell you what, you know what the result will be? The result will be happiness and joy. And we won't have all these dry Christians that are long and... What's wrong with you? I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. See, your flesh might not like what God tells you to do, but no doubt about that, but go do it, God says. Because when you do it, your spirit will rejoice. And when your spirit rejoices, it nourishes the rest of your life. God says, spend some time. Spend your time wisely getting prepared. Because you're going to suffer. You're going to go through some difficult moments. You're going to go through dark valleys. But I will be walking with you. And I'll walk you through them, God says. And he'll be thrilled if you'll just make a decision today. Just say, God, I surrender my life to you. God, I want obedience. I'll do what you call me to do. I'll do what you want me to do. But God, I also will become equipped so that I can do what you want me to do. And that means praying, seeking out his word for your life. Spend time with him. Spend time with him. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to close. It's a story, and some of you may have heard it before, but it bears repeating because I think it helps you understand. Just bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want you to concentrate on what I'm saying. It's this farmer who owned land along the Atlantic seacoast, and he constantly advertised for hired hands, and most people were reluctant to even work on the farms along that coast. I mean, because there were awful storms raged across the Atlantic. The farmer interviewed applicants after applicant after applicant. He received just a steady stream. Everybody said no. And finally, a short, thin man, well past middle age, approached the farm. The farmer said, are you a good farmhand? The farmer asked him, and the guy said, well, I can sleep when the wind blows. Puzzled by his answer, the farmer, desperate for help, hired him, and the little man worked well around the farm, busy dawn to dusk. The farmer felt satisfied with this man. One night, the wind howled loudly in from offshore, and jumping out of bed, farmer grabbed a lantern. He rushed next door to the hired hand's sleeping quarters, and he shook that little man. He yelled. He said, get up. He said, a storm's coming. Tie things down before they blow away. Little man rolled over in his bed, and he said firmly, he said, no, I told you, I can sleep when the wind blows. So enraged by that response, the farmer was ready to fire this little guy, and instead he hurried outside to prepare for that storm. And here to his amazement, all of the haystacks had been covered with tarps. Cows were in the barn, chickens were in the coops, doors were barred, the shutters were tightly secured, everything was tied down, nothing could be blown away. The farmer understood what his hired hand meant. He returned to bed, slept while the wind blew. So when you're prepared spiritually, mentally, physically, you have nothing to fear. Can you sleep when the wind blows through your life? See, Jesus didn't teach man to ignore the future, but to prepare for it. And his warning was against anxiety concerning tomorrow, not against preparation. But I'm going to tell you this morning, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm going to tell you that God has amazing things in store for your future. Every single one of you should believe that. But are you willing to prepare for the future? Because it's in the preparation that you can handle when the wind blows. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you want to say, God, I'm going to prepare right now. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to surrender my time into your hands. I'm going to surrender my thoughts, my wants, my desires. And I want you, God, I want your presence in my life. I want to secure your presence in my life every moment of every day. And God, I'm going to start that today. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're saying that to God today, I want to secure your presence in my life starting right now today, God. I'm going to do that right now. Just lift your hand. Just lift your hand up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees all those hands. Maybe you're here today and you've really struggled with surrender. You've really struggled because you think that's giving up. It isn't. It's really opening a whole new world for you. And maybe you need to surrender. Maybe it's surrendering your wants and desires and just being obedient to God when he says, let go, let go. Maybe it's methods that you've been doing. I don't know. Maybe it's your plan. Let God's plan take over. Maybe you've been equipped and you've been sitting on your equipment and not running the race. Maybe God says, enough sitting. Start running. Maybe that's where you're at today. But talk to Him. Talk to Him. Just in your heart, just quietly before Him. Say, God, I just need to be better prepared. Talk to Him. Father, as we walk through this time together, You are the sure foundation in our life. And Lord, we cry out to You as a people. There's nothing more, while we're scared of hearing Your voice, God, or hearing from You, or, Lord, even releasing those things that we need to release to be obedient to You, God. Well, we find that hard. We know we need to. And God, You don't punish us. You don't get mad at us. You don't say, oh, I'm so frustrated with You. You can no longer be part of my kingdom. God, You don't even do that. But You want the best for us. We know that. And some of us haven't taken the best. Some of us have made wrong choices. And we blamed You. God, we've gone down through dark valleys alone, but we've done that by choice, and then we blame You. God, this morning we realize afresh that we need to be better prepared for those times of battle, those times in life which are dark. So, Lord, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ, You just protect and bless everyone here and those who couldn't be here today, God. May they know that You love them, You care about them, and, Lord, Your grace is mighty for them. And, God, we want nothing more than to glorify You in all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.